Welcome to the Short Term Show, the show about short-term rentals and long-term wealth, with real property owners hosting real properties who are crushing it in the vacation and short-term rental space. And here's your host, Avery Carl.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of the Short Term Show. If you have been listening for a long time, or even prior to the short-term show, if you've ever been a short-term shop client who's asked me, hey, am I somebody who can manage this remotely? Like, how do people do this? And I've used the example of, oh, we know investors who are active duty military deployed in the Middle East who self-manage their properties remotely. We may have been talking about this guy. So Chris Watson is somebody I've known for a very long time via, I guess, the Bigger Pockets forum. So way back in the day. And his story is really, really cool. So I'm really excited for you guys to hear it. And so I'll go ahead and introduce Chris Watson. How's it going, Chris?
It's going great. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming. So let's just start by, first of all, thanking you for your service. Thank you very much for doing what you did for our country. We appreciate it and or still do. Are you retired yet?
I retired after 29 years.
Oh, 29 years. My goodness. You don't look old enough to retire from something for 29 years.
Yeah, I ride a lot of roller coasters and it keeps me young.
All right. Well, so Chris, let's just start at the beginning. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into real estate.
Well, I've been in the military 29 years. We'll be married January 20 of those years. And we got into real estate when we first got stationed at Herbert Field here in Florida in Navarre. We bought a home thinking that's what you should do. It was 2006. Perfect time to buy a home, especially right around the corner. We took the Great Recession. 2010, we got PCS, or which is a military move, to California, to the Bay Area, rented out as a long-term rental, our home here in Navarre. And in the Bay Area, after a year, I found a townhome for $55,000. And so we bought that. And then we were renting out our home here. And the first Christmas, we had to fly back because the renters moved out. They had used a grill in the garage, smoked it completely, busted the front glass out of the oven. Yeah, I grew up in Mississippi, so we're pretty redneck. I hadn't seen that yet. And we had to replace all the carpet and paint the whole thing. All on our Christmas vacation. We should have been with family instead. And so I decided from there on out, I was going to rent to military and stuff I'm going to rent. And then while we're in California, our neighbor short sell. Of course, we're in the Great Recession. So I bought another townhome for $58,000.
Ooh, 58.
Yeah, so our one we lived in, 55, and the other one for 58.
And this is in Navarre, right?
No, this was in Bay Area of California.
Oh, in California. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Wow. That is so cheap for there.
Yes, yes. And then fast forward, while California was great for buying things, me and my wife never want to live back there, maybe never even go back there. It just isn't for us. But we're sitting here saying, wow, things have gone up a lot. And if we're going to sell, where would we buy? And we end up selling our primary that we had out there. Didn't have to pay, income taxes because we'd lived there for the period of time required. And then we sold it for $220,000. So a nice $170,000 profit almost. And then the other one we was renting out to troops that I'd known there. When they moved out, we decided to sell it, but I was like, I don't want to pay income taxes. So I learned about 1031 exchange. Then I started researching all of America. And I said, instead of the military telling me where I need to buy a place, where is going to get the best return on investment? And so we started looking, and I was hoping for beachfront at the time. Again, this goes back to 2016. And beachfront, while it was good, the Smokies at the time was the best market I could find numbers wise. And so that's where we jumped into the short term rentals was then.
And I want to hear, so you jumped into short term rentals then. What was your first property that you bought? I want to hear, how you financed it. What was your income looking like at that time? Because I think, a lot of our clients or listeners think that, oh, you know, this is something you have to be really rich to get started to do?
Well, our income at the time was about, I was a captain, so it would have been a $60,000-ish for the year. And my wife was stay-at-home our whole marriage. So there was no dual income. And we were sending our kids to a private school because we were in Maryland at that point, stationed in Maryland. So money isn't the easiest thing, but we figured it out. One of the things that motivated me in the midst of all this is when I get motivated, I do things, I act on things. And I started going to Walmarts and all these other places, buying things on clearance and reselling it on Amazon and eBay. And I raised 30 grand pretty quickly doing that. That mean after working 12 and 14 hour days, I was home packing things, printing labels and dealing with all that? Yes. But we got motivated and we focused on what the goal and objective was.
This episode is brought to you by Short-Term Shop Plus. Are you looking for someone to help you analyze a deal? Do you want instant access to lectures on management and short-term rental success? Join Short-Term Shop Plus for all of your vacation rental needs. STS Plus is open to the public and offered for the first time at a tremendous value. Also included is world-famous Management Monday, a weekly live session with everything you need to know about setting up your property and learning how to manage from a distance. Join today at stsplus.com. That's stsplus.com.
Okay, so wait a minute. You bought things from where and resold them on Amazon?
Walmart, Lowe's. You just go to the clearance aisles.
Okay. So this is kind of a hack, maybe. Do you think that for somebody who's listening, who's like, man, I don't have enough money for a down payment, is that a strategy that people could still potentially use, going and buying clearance stuff from Walmart or Lowe's or wherever and reselling it on Amazon?
Very much. Amazon, eBay. And it's easy because now there's even more apps for it. Back then, there wasn't as many apps. Now there's apps you can walk in Walmart, scan it, and they tell you how much you would profit by selling it on Amazon.
What?
Including after shipping. So.
Wow. I feel like this is what like high schoolers need to be doing for jobs to learn entrepreneurship instead of, you know, working at Starbucks or whatever. I mean, I think you got to work at Starbucks also. I think you absolutely have to work in the service industry to truly, like, it teaches you all the soft skills that you need to be successful. But I mean, dang, that's like, I've never heard of that. Maybe I'm just getting old, but that's pretty genius.
Well, everything can be remarketed. You just got to find what it is. Maybe you're good. I'm good at finding deals. So that's sort of just a specialty of mine. And so maybe there's something else you're good at. You got to find out, how can I sell that, market it, or use it as an advantage? And that's a key. No matter where you're at, there's something you're good at. How can I use that to my advantage?
Okay. So you're making $60,000 a year. You don't have enough of a down payment. So you're buying items on clearance at these big box stores, reselling them on Amazon. Love that. Love there's always a way. And so you buy something in the Smoky Mountains. Do you still own that property or have you 1031 exchanged?
Yes, we still own that one. I'm not sure we'll ever sell that one. And it's interesting how we got it, because one of the questions earlier is, how did you come across it? Well, there was another listing that was a three bedroom, and this was a 2-1 that I got. And I was looking at it. My wife's like, just call the owner. It was like 9 p.m. So I'm like, no real estate agent's going to answer. I didn't have a real estate agent at the time. So just call the owner. And I'm like, well, are you sure? It's 9 p.m. So I Google, find it, call him. He's like, look, I had 3 offers in the first 2 hours. And I was like, well, but he said, I've got this 2-1 I will sell for $220,000. I'm like, okay. He's like, I was going to list it next week. I called my boss and said, hey, boss, can I take leave, which is a vacation day for the military tomorrow? He said, sure. Actually, I was a chaplain for the Air Force, so I had to actually drive in. I already promised a sailor that I'd give him counseling in the morning. So I counseled him at 8 a.m. and then drove from D.C. all the way down to Tennessee, looked at the property, went and looked at several other properties just to confirm, and locked it under contract.
Wow. Okay. And it's a 2-1. And how much did that make you in the first year? Actually, I'm gonna go ahead and tell you what I'm going to ask you next. How much did that make in the first year versus how much did that make you last year?
Well, I actually just ran the numbers. I have them written down here. So the first year was 70 grand, then 85. Then as we got into the COVID years, 135, woo, 130, and 102 last year. And we're shooting for about 108 this year.
So guys, Airbnb busters out there who are like, oh my God, short-term rentals are over. If you look at 2021 to now, the numbers are down. Yes, they are a little, but if you zoom out, you know, those of us who owned, you know, well before COVID were getting a little over half of what we're able to get today. So that's not a bust, guys. It's a blip. You know, things, real estate tends to trend upwards. You're going to have some ups and downs in that, but it tends to trend upward. And that is exactly what we're seeing. And I'm really glad you had all those numbers right in front of you, because I was really hoping to make that point. So.
Well, on top of that point, I have even better numbers. And that is comparing this year to last year, to year to date. And I ran this on Saturday. In the Smokies market, my occupancy is up 4.75% over last year. My income is up 1% year to date over last year. In the Beach market, occupancy is up 4% year to date. Income is up 6.5% year to date. So,
wow.
It, you know, and that's one of the things, a lot of people just goes off feelings. And I was going off feelings way back in March. And I'm like, oh man, we're losing money. Then I ran reports. In the military, we say intel drives operations. So grab the data to make your decisions. And I was like, well, the numbers doesn't, it just felt that way. The numbers show that we were still doing good. And so for those who also maybe have one property and you're like, oh my goodness, we had a bad month. Look, I went into April with this property specifically, that 2-1, not a single day on the books on March 28th. 100% occupancy, 100% occupancy by the end of April for that month. What? My calendar was wide open. Well, one is I got motivated again. You get motivated to do things. I get out there and advertise. Picked up my marketing skills a little bit more this year. So just realize if you're not doing good, look, how can you adjust? And what do you need to do to make it do better? Because I'm going to tell you, people are staying. The data shows people are still going to both the Beach markets, Emerald Coast market, and to the Smokies, where I have properties.
Adaptability really is key, I think, is what I'm hearing you say. You know, people holler about saturation and blah, 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 and it's not good anymore. It's not, you have to adapt to the market. The market is always going to change. I don't care what asset class it is or what business you're in, not even real estate. Things change. You have to adapt or you will fail.
Exactly. Yeah. If you just want to stay standard and then like, oh, well, you know, 3 years ago, people would just come. No, you got to do, this is a business and you need to treat it like a business, which means you need to change. Market changes. I mean, I read how Starbucks is changing policies and stuff this coming week, right? Why are they doing that? Because their business is changing and behaviors are changing.
I haven't read that. I'm going to have to read it. I had to write a paper in grad school about the Starbucks business model. So I've always kind of like paid attention to what they are doing ever since, just because I had to invest my time in it. So I'm like, I'm going to keep an eye on this. Okay. So back to you. How many properties do you have in your portfolio now?
I have 9 short-term rentals and 1 long-term rental.
9 short-terms and 1
long-term.
All right. So what's the distribution of where you own those short-term rental properties? What markets?
I have 6 in the Smokies market and 3 in the Emerald Coast market.
Love both of those markets. And to kind of backtrack to what you said earlier, I haven't dissected by market what our numbers are, but I do know we're about $10,000 away from hitting last year's numbers, and it's only October. So we will pass last year as well across Smokies and Emerald Coast. Again, I didn't dissect it by numbers, but like we're looking pretty good to be up what we were last year as well. So we're seeing the same thing in our numbers. So, all right, you got 6 in the Smokies, 3 at the Beach. What's the distribution of bedroom counts across those?
So it's pretty easy in the Smokies. I got a 1-bedroom, 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom, and 2 super large 5-bedrooms I just built, but they can sleep 20. Ooh, they're 8,800 square feet.
Okay. And how about Emerald Coast?
446.
Okay. And how did you finance all of these? Did you save up and make a down payment on all of them? Did you use other people's money on anything? How did we get all these?
So some was saving up, always, especially when you're first starting, don't spend your profit. In a small business, the first few years, don't take a profit. That's why you don't get rid of your W-2 job initially. And so, yeah. The others was, and you might remember while I was in Afghanistan, you sold a lot for me. Some of the land, I picked up land on auctions back in 2017, 2018, bought some REO from the bank in the Smokies. And I resold some of those to give me, at a large profit, to give me the ability to either build or buy. And then some of, I've built 7 in the Smokies total, and I've sold 3 of those to 1031 to the ones, some of the ones we have on the beach. And so it gave a way up. And then one of the ones on the beach was actually our permanent home where I thought we would live when I retired from the military. We stayed there a couple of years, and the kids are like, the beach is nice as a backyard, but Dad, we want a tree. So we just moved back to the bay here over in Navarre, and we turned the beach home into a rental. And the great thing is that's a VA loan at 2.75%. Mm-hmm. And I put 5% down just to avoid some of the funding fee. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had to put anything down on a $2 million home.
Wow. So you have found lots of creative ways to scrape up the money to buy these things, creative ways to finance them. And I think, honestly, if you are in the military and you have the ability to kind of house hack with a VA loan and live in a place that you would like to make a short-term rental, live there for a year, meet those requirements. Guys, also, by the way, don't ever try to cheat the VA loans. They watch that like a hawk. You will get caught. Just don't do that. It's not cool to do anyway. Whether you get caught or not, it's not a cool thing to do. But that is such a great, because you can buy one a year as long as you've got, you know, the income and the down payment coming in. Well, actually, sorry, you don't need a down payment because it's a VA. So $0 down payment. I think that that is the smartest way that any folks in the military can start to accumulate properties is by using that VA loan.
Right. And to those who are about to get out of the military, I suggest you go ahead and get it while you have that W-2. Go ahead and get that permanent home, at least for the next 1 to 2 years, using that VA loan, because that way you have that income to help support it getting qualified for it.
100%.
This episode of the Short Term Show has been brought to you by your friendly Short Term Shop real estate agent. We are hyper local and totally dedicated to your success. Whether you want to buy your next short term rental or sell the one you currently own, we would be honored to earn your business. We are in all of the best vacation markets in America. Find us at theshorttermshop.com. That's theshorttermshop.com. Brokered by eXp. This episode is brought to you by Short Term Rental Listing Advice. Join this Facebook group and post your listing to get advice from other hosts, including myself, on how you can improve your listing. Or just post your property so you can show off. Join us at strlistingadvice.com. That's strlistingadvice.com.
All right, now let's move on to the self-management piece, because you've given really good examples of, like, there's no reason that anybody can't figure out ways to do this. So you self-managed these things while you were deployed in Afghanistan. Did I hear you say that right?
Yes, self-managed, and I had 2 constructions going on at the same time. While deployed to Afghanistan in the midst of COVID, in the midst of the Iranian missile crisis, and several other things going on over there.
So what you're saying is nobody has any excuse for not being able to self-manage. You are literally getting shot at and self-managing these short-term rentals.
Exactly. If you can, everything, so the military teaches you this. You just need to have a proper team with boots on ground, right? So the generals don't have to be where I'm at in Afghanistan. They just have to have the people they can trust that are equipped to do the job with boots on ground. And that's where wherever you have a short-term rental, you have boots on ground. You got a maintenance team. Do you have cleaning teams? Do you have backups that you can send in just in case something happens? And once you build that out, you'd be surprised. It would probably take you a day to at least build your initial list and type up a Word document saying, okay, here's my 4 plumbers. Here's my 4 AC guys. Here's my 4 this. And I go 1 extra because usually 2 to 3 flake out. I went through trying to find 10 different maintenance people on a Sunday to change a battery and a smoke detector because it was 30 feet in the air inside of a cabin. None of them had a ladder tall enough. And so you can build your team. And that's the key, is just sit down. It isn't scary. It just takes some time to sit down, make some phone calls and talk to people, get in the forums, the short-term shops forums and Facebook. People are sharing this information all the time. Luke's out there to help you. Your agents are out there to help you to assemble your teams. And so that's the key, is having the teams on ground. And you can run it from anywhere. Me and my wife, as a whole family, we're taking a 20-day trip to the Mediterranean this summer, and we're going to be running from there in a different time zone, so on the other side of the world.
And so with your retirement from the military, you're living 100% off of your short-term rentals now?
Yes, military retirement and short-term rentals.
Not a bad life, does it sound like. I want to go to the Mediterranean for 20 days.
You can.
Yeah, I suppose I could. Just have to, yeah, there's just a lot of planning involved.
The time zone change is the biggest thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So back to the distribution of bedroom counts. Do you have a favorite bedroom count in either market?
So in the Emerald Coast market, at least where I'm at, the 4+, there's more of a scarcity. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you can't build much more on the beachfront. Most of it's built out, and most of the lots are $2 million. So it's best, I find that those, because it's a scarcity, you can get higher occupancy and higher rates. And then up in the Smokies, I love having the distribution, because when the big ones are not making money, the small ones are making money. We would probably add, we'd love to add a few more small ones to our portfolio in the Smokies. Personally, I think there's some great buys out there.
Yeah, I agree. We were under contract on a one bedroom in the Smokies until we made it to the, okay, we're jerks. So just so I want everybody to know, if you mess up on a contract, it's okay. The professionals do that too. So we got all the way through our inspection, all the way through everything. And it needed a lot of things. And I love our one bedrooms. And hopefully you guys will find this relatable, and I'm not just talking about myself to sound like I'm talking about myself. But anyway, so there were a lot of things that needed. We were fine with that. We got to do a cost seg this year. We hadn't bought a whole lot. But it didn't have great Verizon service. And we were kind of okay with that. We're like, we'll get a booster. We'll figure something out. The Wi-Fi was fine. But as we sent out our contractors and stuff to start looking at giving us quotes and things, they were all super annoyed with the Verizon service. And we're like, started to rethink trying to get around that, try to get over that hump. And we're like, man, these are people who are being paid to be there and they're annoyed with it. These aren't even guests. Like, maybe let's just not do this. So we terminated the day before closing and lost our earnest money, like as we should have. You can't do that.
Right.
So, but they were so mad. The agent was so mad. And Susie, I'm extremely sorry about that. Very sorry. But, sometimes you just can't, sometimes you just don't realize until the end. So my advice, guys, is pay good attention while you're in your inspection period. But all that to say, there are still good deals out there. Luke and I are still buying. We're now looking for another one because that one didn't work out. But they're still out there. And it really is, to me, being in the right location close to the amenities and maybe just finding the properties that need some work, some things that you can add to them, maybe some reasons that other people have overlook them, like bad pictures and things like that, high days on market. So the deals are still out there, guys.
Yeah, there's so many good deals out there. And I tell you, one is, you make a good point. If you're not good with something, walk away from it. Don't tie emotions to any property. Just realize it's time to walk away from a deal. I'm going to tell you, up in the Smokies, one thing that would just help a lot of people and make their property worth a lot of money is grabbing a chainsaw. all the people on my mountain's like, you're a tree murderer. And I'm like, they're blocking my view. If I didn't want to view, I'd be in the valley.
Yes, I am. Yeah, you got to have, the views really do make a difference. Can you do it without a view? Yes. We have several properties that don't have views that crush it, but we've got other things to make up for that. So your favorites, you don't have a favorite size, really. You like four bedrooms and up on Emerald Coast, and then you like them both in the Smokies for different reasons, what I'm hearing.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So we're almost to the last three questions of the show. But before we do that, is there anything about your journey or anybody who might be in our listeners that you would like to speak to and make sure that they hear something about your particular story? Like anything you think our listeners would benefit from hearing about you and your story specifically?
Well, one is I grew up in Mississippi. And I don't say that bad. I mean, we were number 49th in the nation for education.
So still are, I think. We might be 50. Also number one for obesity and teen pregnancy. And we're number one in all the things you don't want to be number one in, and number 50 in all the good things.
Right. So we can, if me and Avery can figure this out, you can do this. It's going to take some work. It isn't going to be easy. So be, just know that going in and set realistic expectations. And don't expect that, oh my goodness, I need to start off with a phenomenal place that looks great. No, just keep on up, trading up, and using that as an opportunity. So if you buy a one bedroom, but you really wanted a four bedroom pool home, that's okay. Start with a one bedroom, let it make some money, save up, and then trade it up or save up and buy the next one in a couple of years. This is not a race, you know. 2016 to now, whatever that is, 8 years, you know, is what it's taken us. But it might take you longer. But if you just added one every 2 years, all of a sudden you're doing great. So yeah. It's not a race, and take the time to do it. And then don't put your family financially at risk.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And yeah, it is your race, guys. Don't compare yourself to other people. Other people are going to go faster or slower. And you never know what's going on behind the scenes. The person going fast could be making some really bad decisions, or the person going slow, you know, could be making the best decisions, or vice versa. Like, I went kind of fast, but we didn't have kids when we started. And so we were able to take risks that I wouldn't probably take today. So run your race. Don't compare yourself to other people. Really, really good advice. Okay. Last three questions of the show, Chris. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. First one. What advice would you give 20-year-old Chris?
It'd be three things. Number one, stop saying one day I'll do something and start making it day one. Start making it day one of making that action. If you're wanting a short-term rental or a long-term rental or whatever it is, what is your action step, and make it day one of what you need to do? So don't make the excuse, say, one day I want to have. Nah, over with that stuff and start making a plan and start executing on it. Number two, Chris, always keep integrity. Every time that I've had issues in my life is when I even push the boundary of integrity. So always keep integrity 100%. And then number three, always know and keep your priorities in life. For me, that's God, family, country, and that's always has been. And that's the top three priorities in that order. So, you know, real estate didn't come in there, did it? So it's below that. So when real estate gets in the way of family, It's got to push off. Real estate can temporarily, but you got to counterbalance that, to use, I believe, a Dave Keller saying.
What advice would you give a new investor who's looking to get started today, which is October 2024, wacky market? Oh my goodness, we're 2 weeks away from the election. I'm like, oh, it's in 2 months. No, it's not. It's in 2 weeks. So, you know, kind of crazy time out there. What advice do you have for somebody who's looking to get started today?
One, now is a great opportunity. Because occupancy, as I have data to show, it is up. Income is stable to up. And guess what? People are scared. And as Warren Buffett would say, when people are running away, maybe you need to start running towards if the data supports it. So it's a great opportunity. You need to do your research and let Intel drive your operation. Do it takes a little bit more work. Figure out what's the best market for you. What are you good at? Do you need something closer or further away? And it just depends. Do your research and let the intel, not emotions, drive your decisions. And then again, make today day one instead of one day we'll do this thing.
Also great advice. And last question, what's your favorite book that's impacted your mindset?
Well, I'm going to say this one will probably, I have never heard it said on any podcast. And that is the Bible. And one is Genesis itself deals with real estate, people who work against you. I call it the HOA. Sometimes it's family, and that's in the Genesis. And also shows a hard work and reward. John shows the purpose to life and the focus of life. Proverbs deals with economics, relationships, and how to deal with your workers, the people that work for you. And then Ecclesiastes, and this might be where you and Luke might be soon, if you're not there already, is what matters right now? You're successful, and some days you probably wake up and say, man, why am I doing this thing? I'm at my kid's soccer game, and I'm having to deal with a text message or whatever. You should be watching your kids play soccer. And so some days you might wake up like, why am I doing this? And Ecclesiastes helps me stay focused on that main thing.
Also very good advice. And I don't know, we might have had one person say that, but you might be the first. You're either the first or the second in almost 200 episodes. So good for you.
Oh, wow.
All right. Well, Chris, thank you so much. If people want to find your properties, book your properties, how do they do that?
SmokyMountainViews.com and StayAtTheBeach.com.
SmokyMountainViews.com was not taken?
Nope.
Wow. Yeah,
I went in and bought a bunch of different names just to have.
All right. Awesome. Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming on. And guys, we are going to keep an eye on our YouTube channel. Go subscribe if you haven't yet, or if you're watching us on YouTube, subscribe. It's youtube.com/theshorttermshop. We are going to do a few video walkthroughs with Chris of his properties in Navarre Beach. So stay tuned to check that out. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Avery.